Boker Tov, welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim Daf Yomi. We're now in Ketubot, Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, at the bottom of the Amud, in the second Mishnah of the 11th Perek. In the discussion in this first Mishnah that we will deal with, Mishnah Bet, will be about the Almana selling property in order to collect both Mizonot or her Ketubah. Almana bein min ha'irusin bein ha'min ha'nisuin mocheret shelo beveitin. An almana, whether she's an almana from Erusin or Nisuin, and the critical difference is an almana min ha'nisuin is going to be getting Mizonot, an almana min Erusin will not. She can sell outside of the precinct of a beitin. Now that does not mean that she could sell on her own. What it means, as the Rif points out, the Rambam mentions in Perash Mishnayot and in the Yad, that she needs to do it in the presence of proper assessors, three who act as what we call dayanim hedyotot, not dayanim mumchim, not a proper formal beit din, but it does have to be done with proper estimation. Rabbi Shimon omer min ha'nisuin mocheret shelo beveit din, min ha'irusin lo timkor lo beveit din. Rabbi Shimon makes a split and says, if she's an almana min ha'nisuin, then she can sell outside of the precinct of beit din. But if she's an almana min erusin, where all she's selling for is the ketubah, it has to be beveitin. And then he adds a rule, mnei she'en la mizonot, since an almana min erusin has no mizonot, v'chol she'en la mizonot, lo timkor la beveitin. Anyone who does not get mizonot, and therefore her sale is only for ketubah, it must be done in the beitin. Now, we're going to try to figure out why the Chachamim allowed an almana min erusin to sue, to sell outside of the precinct of a beit din. We understand if you need mizonot, you don't necessarily have time to wait for all the formalities of a beit din. But for ketubah, you could wait a little bit. Why are they allowing it? So, bishlam min hanisuin, mishum mizoni. I understand that because if it's min hanisuin, that she needs to have mizonot. El min hairusin, my time, what's the reason that they allow you to sell, shall we say, quicker, and without the formality of beit din, if it's for ketubah? So two explanations, a machloka, and the rest of our discussion in the Gemara will be to try to favor one side or the other, demonstrate the validity of one side over the other. Amar Ula, Mishum China. Ula says the reason that we're familiar with in many cases, which is China, we want to give the Almana some chain and some charm and some attractiveness, and therefore to not only get her ketubah right away, but also to not allow there to be, shall we say, any stains or any shadows over her collection, people will find her less attractive to marry. Rabbi Yochanan amar l'fishen adam rotzei shtibazei ishto beveitin. A man would not want, Rabbi Yochanan gives a different reason, a man would not want his wife to be disgraced in a beitin. In other words, the interest here, the assumption here goes not on the woman herself, but rather on what her husband, who is dead now, would have wanted. He would not want his wife to have to go to beit din in order to collect. Now, my benayu, what's the difference between these two approaches? Ikabenayu grusha, that's very easy. If a man divorces his wife, lamandar mishum china grushanai bayachain. If we're talking about a divorcee, if we're talking about the concern of chain applies to a divorcee too. She also has to be able to get remarried. But according to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, that the reason is that a man does not want his wife to be disgraced, he's certainly not going to have that concern with the case of his own divorcee. So let's see if we can settle it. Tanan, we have the later Mishnah that we're going to read in a few minutes. Grusha lo timkor ela beveitin. A grusha must sell within the context of beitin. Well, that seems to put Mika slam dunk in favor of Rabbi Yochanan, that the only concern is what the man would have wanted. Here the man is here and obviously he doesn't care, so she does have to come to Beit Din. So Bishlam on the Manda of Fishan Adam Rotzei Shtibazei Ishto Beit Din Grushalu Achpatle, we just said. Lamanda Mishum China, but according to Ulo, who said the issue is Chain, Grusha Nami Baya Chain, Grusha also needs Chain. So, the answer we give to defend Ula's position is Hamani, Rabbi Shimon. We could say that the statement, Ugrusha Lotim Kor Ela Beveitin, is authored by Rabbi Shimon, who already in our Mishnah told us that he believes that anybody who is not getting a mizonot, has to sell Beveitin. So, I Rabbi Shimon, Hatana Leresha, but Rabbi Shimon already said that in our Mishnah. I mean, Ha'irusun Lotim Kor Ela Beveitin. Right? So, now, if I only had our mission, I would say, sure, an almana min ha'irusin who doesn't really need a lot of help. She doesn't have any emotional baggage that somebody who was married and is now no longer married has, where she's been intimate with another man, and now he's either dead or divorced her, and now she's trying to marry someone else. She's an almana min ha'irusin, and she never did have that intimacy. And therefore, other people will not be so hesitant to marry her. She doesn't need as much help, so maybe Rabbi Shimon thinks that's the case. But a grusha does need such help. And therefore, Emati Boy Chain, maybe Rabbi Shimon would agree that she needs Chain, and therefore we're not going to force her to come to Beit Din to be able to sell. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon has to say it again. So Hanami Tanina, but if you think about it, that was also mentioned in our Mishnah. The end of a Mishnah had Rabbi Shimon's rule, Kol She'en La Mizonot, anybody who does not have Mizonot can't sell except outside of Beit Din. So Latuye Mai, what's that coming to include? Lav Latuye Grusha, isn't it coming to include a Grusha? And to say that a Grusha also must sell in Beit Din, which means that the statement in the next Mishnah can't be Rabbi Shimon because he already alluded to it. It must be Chachamim. Lo Latuye Grusha Megureshet Veni Megureshet. It's coming there to exclude a Megureshet Veni Megureshet. In other words, somebody who is a Suffolk Grusha, like classically, if the man threw the get and it landed somewhere in the middle of them, we don't know if it's closer to her, closer to him, the beginning of the 8th parak of Gittin, and therefore whether or not she's really divorced. In such a case, then, as we'll see, could Rabbi Zeira, Adam Rabbi Zeira, Komakomacham Megureshet Veni Megureshet, Baal Chayav Mizonoteha. He issues a ruling that anytime there's Suffolk Gerushin, the husband is still obligated to feed her. And therefore, the ruling of Kol She'in LaMizonot is there to say, except in the case of a Grusha and a Grusha, she doesn't have to go to Beit Din because she is getting Mizonot. Okay? So which means that our statement in the next Mishnah, Grusha Lotum Korah LaBeit Din, may be authored by Rabbi Shimon, it would be something new. And therefore, that does not yet prove whether Chayin or Titpazeh is the main consideration. Toshma, Keshem Shemacher Shalom Beveitin, Kach Yosheha Yoshek Tubatamachim Shalom Beveitin. So we have a statement that says that just like she can sell outside of Beit Din, her heirs can also sell outside of Beit Din. Meaning, she dies and her heirs come to collect the ktubah, they can sell land for the ktubah and they don't need a Beit Din. Now, in Bishlam Alaman, the Ralefishin Adam Rasish Bazei Shalom Beveitin, Rabbi Yochanan again comes out as the stronger here. Because if you posit that the reason that we allow an almana to collect outside of the precinct of Beit Din is because her husband would not have wanted her to be disgraced, so just like a husband would not want his wife to be disgraced, he also wouldn't want her heirs, meaning his kids, to be disgraced. But if you're going to say it's because of china, yoshea my chenika. Because we're looking at her Yorshim, and we think there are a bunch of little boys, or her brothers, or whoever they may be. Why would they need Chayin? So Tirgama Ula defends himself by saying, Kigon Shiyarashta Bita O Achota. Maybe her daughter or her sister inherited from her. How could her sister inherit from her parenthetically? Well, that's easy. If she dies, and she is a Shomeret Yavam, which is really what Yorsheha alludes to, but in any case, an Almana Mina Irusin, then the ktubah is going to go to her father's family. Her father's not alive. She has no kids. So it goes to her siblings. Let's say she only has a sister. So her sister inherits through her father, who's no longer there. But in any case, that is how Ula would defend himself and say, aha, you know why your sheik tubata also go to Beit Din? Because they also need chayin, because that could be a girl who's not married, and she's going to get assets, and that will speed up the process for her to be able to get married also. Certainly not an overly compelling argument, that Rabbi Yochanan does seem to have the upper hand in this sugya. Okay, the next Mishnah continues on with the issue of selling the ktubah for mizonot. Machrak ktubata umiktzata. Let's say that she sold her ktubah, the rights to her ktubah, to get cash, or some of it. Mishkanak ktubata umiktzata, or she pledged some of, or all of her ktubah, as payment for a loan. Natnak ktubata lacher umiktzata, or she gave some or all of it away. Lotim koral tashar labaveitin. According to Tanakama, we'll see who it is in a minute, she may not sell the rest of the property except in Beit Din. So this is even somebody who in the previous Mishnah could sell outside of the Beit Din. Now she needs to come to Beit Din to sell the rest to clarify what the amount is being sold. The Chachamim omrim, Chachamim disagree with this, say, Mocherati afilo arba'a v'chamisha pamim. She could even sell in 4 or 5 stages. U'mocheret l'mizonot shelo b'Beit Din v'chotevet l'mizonot macharti. She can also sell to get mizonot. This is what we saw earlier in the previous Mishnah. And she should write into the shtar, I'm selling this for mizonot. And that, as we saw earlier, was an Eitzah Tova, so that people would not have challenges on why she was spending the money. Ugrusha lo timkor labaveitin, that we just saw in the previous discussion in the Gemara, that a grusha cannot sell outside of the precinct of Beit Din, and we argued that that may be Rabbi Shimon's opinion, or it may indeed be Chachamim's opinion, and because there's no concern for Titpase Ishto. Now, Matnitin Mani, who is the author of the first part of our Mishnah? Second part is Chachamim. The answer is Rabbi Shimon. We're not surprised to find that it's Rabbi Shimon, because we already saw him in the previous Mishnah. Tatanya Machrak Tuvata, Mishkanak Tuvata, Astak Tuvata, Apotiki Lacher. So if she sold her entire ktubah, or she made her entire ktubah a pledge as a payment against a loan, or she made her ktubah an apotiki la'acher, meaning a designation for collection for some other debt, ein la mizonot, she's lost her mizonot. Right, and that's either stam or divir meir. Even if she only did that with part of the ktubah, which means part of the debt is still outstanding to her, she still lost mizonot, which means that according to Rabbi Shimon, even though the part of the debt of the ktubah is owed to her, she's lost her mizonot as long as she's collected part of it, or spent part of it, or sold part of it. That's what Rabbi Shimon says. And of course, Rabbi Shimon says when you're coming to collect without the rights of mizonot, you have to come to Beit Din. So that fits our Mishnah. So that's Rabbi Shimon. So in Lomemer, Rabbi Shimon Savar Delo Amrina Mikzat Kesef Kechol Kesef. So are we to say that Rabbi Shimon holds that a partial debt is not considered a full debt? In other words, the husband's family owes her part of the ktubah. That's not considered as if he owes the whole thing, and therefore she does not have mizonot. For Rabbanan Savri Amrina Tam Mikzat Kesef Kechol Kesef, and the Rabbanan say that it is considered like a full debt. So Aipcha Sheminalu, we have the opposite approach when it comes to a very different area. Tanya, when it comes to the one pasuk on the page, a very short pasuk, it's the pasuk about a kohen gadol and who he must marry. This is a machloket we saw already in Yevamot. What is isha bivtuleha? Prat le bogeret shekalu vtuleha. This excludes a bogeret, a girl over the age of na'arut, who has already lost her full betulim. Doesn't mean she's had any relations or even any physical intervention, but just by age, she is not a full betula. Tiver meir. They disagree and say she's still a betula. So it sounds like Rabbi Shimon says, Miktzat betulim are called betulim, and Rabbi Meir, representing Chachamim here, thinks Miktzat betulim are not kechol betulim. But the analogy to our case is somewhat difficult to decipher. But nonetheless, they're raising it as a challenge. And the answer is, Hatam Mikrai Pligi. The answer is that Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir here are not disagreeing about a principle of Miktzat, of a partial being considered full, but rather it's a local dispute based on exegetical practice of how we, exegetical process of how we interpret the verse. Rameir Savar, bitula, if it just said bitula, afilu mitzat bitulim, that would mean just a sort of bitula, somebody who's not a full bitula. Right? Bituleha, once it says bituleha, that raises the bar, adi'ika kulu bitulim, that means she has to be a full bitula. So what's bivtuleha coming to define? Bechadarka in shalokadarka lo. Only if she was violated in some way in the normal fashion as opposed to be a shalokadarka. That's Rav Meir. So Rav Meir starts with the word betula being minimal. Therefore, the next word raises it, the bar, all the way to the top. In the meantime, Rabbi Elazar, Rav Shimon Asavi, betula shleima mashma. They say, but the word betula means a complete betula, means they start with the word betula as being the max. Betuleha. So therefore, if there's a change in the word, you can't go higher than the max. Afilu miktzat betulim. Then they lower it and they say, not a full betula. Bivtuleha, shu kol betuleha kayamin ben kadarka ben shalo kadarka. And bivtuleha means that physically, not as far as age goes, but as far as intervention goes, it has to be complete, whether kadarka or shalo kadarka. Main point here being that, that Rabbi Shimon and his position about Miktzat Betulim being considered Kechol Betulim has nothing to do with a general concept, but rather a local interpretation here. Tov, hahi itata de tafsa kosa de kaspa b'chlubata. There was a woman who wanted to collect her ktubah, and so she was tofes, a silver cup. Katava mizoni, and then she turned around. The silver cup paid for part of the ktubah. She was still owed part of the debt. So we know that according to Rabbi Shimon, she'd be out of mizonot. According to Chachamim, she would still have mizonot. Katavi Mizoni, she then went to Beit Din and said, I want to get fed. Atoyla came to Rava, they all came to Rava. Amar Luli Atmi, he told the heir, Zilu Havula Mizonot, you better go pay her. Late to Chashlaha to Rabbi Shimon, there is nobody who accepts Rabbi Shimon's opinion, Tamar Lomina Mitzat Kesef Kechol Kesef. That Rabbi Shimon, who said that partial debt is not considered a full debt, we don't accept it, and the fact that you still owe a part of the ktubah means she has rights to Mizonot. The next case, Shalach le Rabba Bereid Rav Yosef. It was really a question asked to Rav Yosef. Mocheret shelo beveitin, Tzricha Shvua, Ein Tzricha Shvua. If a woman sells outside of the precinct of Beit Din, does she have to take an oath that she did not collect more than her due or not? Rav Yosef sent back and asked said, why don't you ask a different question? Do we need to make the public announcement that we normally make when the Beit Din sells property to pay a debt? Do we have that hachraza? Because this is Shalom Beit Din. Again, Shalom Beit Din means there is an assembly of three elders who are doing this, but they're not a formal Beit Din. So Rava said, I'm not asking about. Why? Rav Nachman, we have a ruling, Almanah Shamala Atzmaf, and Almanah made her own estimate on the value of a property to collect for herself, lo astava lo klum. That's meaningless, and we take it away from her, and we do our own reassessment, the Beit Din. Hechidami, what is Rav Nachman's statement referring to? What's the case? E da achruz, if there was a hachraza, amai lo astava lo klum, why is it invalid? After all, min achraza, nobody came and protested, nobody said it's worth less or more, it should be valid. Alav de lo achruz, it must be that there was no announcement. Ula atzma lo astava lo klum, it's only if she's doing it to collect for herself that it's invalid. Hala achr mashasta astava, but if she's doing it to sell to somebody else, and she says, I estimate this to be worth $10,000, and she sells it to somebody who gets the cash, then it is good. By implication, because it's only if she does it for herself we said it's no good, which means she does not have to make there is no achraza. So I'm not asking about achraza. So the answer we gave was liolam da achruz. The answer is no. That might be a case where they did make the announcement. Udamri la man shamlach, and they turn around and say to her, "Where'd you get this estimate from? Who gave this amount of money? Who said it's worth that?" Kihai da hu gavra, just like a particular case of a man. Dafkidu gabe kista diatmi. They were mafkid in his possession. Some fancy coral that belonged to some Yatomim, evidently as payment for a debt. Azal Shama Lanafshe Barba Miazuza. He claimed it was worth 400 as part of a collection. Iker Kamashit Mea. Then it went up in value, and suddenly it was worth 600. Ata Lakame to Rabbi Ami, Amar Le Man Shamlach. So he came to Rabbi Ami, and Rabbi Ami said, who made that estimation? In other words, that is a question that we will ask, and then invalidate the estimation. In any case, what's the halacha? Tzricha shvua v'ena tzricha achraza. The halacha is that if an almana does sell outside of the precinct of Beit Din, she does need to take an oath to the effect that she did not collect more, but there is no need for a achraza. Everybody should have a wonderful day and a great Shabbat and a wonderful Chag Urim, a wonderful festive Chanukah, and we'll pick up Im Yirtzeh Hashem in the next podcast from this Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Chet Amud Aleph as we continue our study of Masechet Ketubot.